We surely thank Dwight this morning, and we thank all of you for being here. It is a great and wonderful day to be in the house of God. You know, I want to acknowledge this morning that Brittany Bettis is here this morning, and we have been praying for her. And where are you, Brittany? Somewhere. There you are, back there. Yeah. We're just so glad that she is here, and she recently had cancer surgery, but doing well. And we know that our prayers have been answered by the great God that we love and the one that we honor here this morning. And we're so thankful and grateful that all of you are here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we want you to know that we're delighted that you come and you can find a church home right here. We're interested in serving God and serving one another and not ourselves. You know, someone told me the other day that their doctor said that when you die, that your pupils are the last thing to go. And anyway, the woman asked and said, why is that true? And I'm going to give you the answer to that tonight at 6 o'clock when you show up for worship. So I want to encourage you to be here at that time. This morning, we are here to worship and honor our great God in heaven. I wanted to ask you, first of all, how many of you know what this is? Anybody know what it is?
Level.
Yeah, it is a level. It's a level. And it has a bubble in the middle. And when you actually get this thing in position and get it level, the bubble will be in the middle. Now, I want to ask you this morning, is your bubble in the middle? Is it? Is your bubble in the middle? And what I mean by that, are on you on level with God? Are you on level with God? We all at times forget to ask God to help us stay on level ground. You know, when you became a Christian, you were on level ground, and your bubble was in the middle, and you were saying unto God, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. God, I'm going to show up now at the church house when the doors are open for worship. I'm not going to be neglectful. You were saying, I'm going to give unto you, God, according to as I've been purposed. And Lord, I'm going to seek the lost, and I'm going to restore those who have gone astray. And so ask yourself the question this morning, is your bubble in the middle? Are you on level with God? We should be, every one of us. But too oftentimes our bubble bounces back and forth. It does. And we forget our commitment that we made unto God. Any way you measure it, up and down, to the side, however you measure it, you must come to grips with that one question. Is my bubble in the middle? And am I on level ground? Am I where I need to be? We need to say, as did David in Psalms 143 and verse 10, may your spirit lead me on level ground. Isn't it interesting that God talks about level ground? Isn't it interesting that God says we ought to be on the level with Him? And when God is about to take you to a greater level, everything will go crazy. While a lot of people will disappoint you, friends will betray you, you will be left all alone. And in that very moment, God will be your only source, and He alone will take the glory. He does. But that's the God that we all love. And we want God to lift us and carry us to that level ground where we need to be. Sometimes we are stagnant. But in 1 Peter 5 and 10, Peter said, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and He says, and He will establish you. So sometimes when you feel that God hasn't been on the level with you, God is perfect, and He is always on the level. and he asks nothing of us but that which is good for our own souls. And God is preparing to take you, believe it or not, to the next level in your Christian life. But if you're not here and you don't learn how to do that and how you can do it, then it would be of no avail to you at all. It may feel like delay. It may look like pruning, you know, where God cuts away the dead. And it may even come with tears and isolation and spiritual resistance, but God is not punishing you. He is preparing you. You know, sometimes we go through difficulties in life and we think, well, you know, God doesn't love me. If he loved me, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? We have to remember that God is behind the curtain. You know, the whole time that Job was going through all of the heartache in his life, when people were stealing everything that he had, the Chaldeans came and took his cattle and his herds, and actually when the devil took away his health and was about to destroy him, God stepped in. You know why? Because God was behind Job's curtain. And I'm telling you this morning that God is behind the curtain. And he is not punishing you, but he is preparing you for the next level in your life. Think about it. Before David ever held the crown as king over Israel, he first had to hold a sling. That's how we started. And before Joseph stood in the palace, he was tested in the pit. And before Jesus stepped into a public ministry, he was led out into the wilderness immediately following his baptism. That's why I tell people, when you are baptized into Christ, that is the genesis. That is the beginning point of your walk with Christ. And the devil is going to be pursuing you from now on. He is. It is so true. And if the devil did not tempt Adam and Eve to steal, you know what he tempted them to do? He didn't tempt them to lie, to kill, to commit adultery. He tempted them to live independently without God. And that's the way a lot of people live their lives. And if Satan can talk angels out of heaven, he can talk you into hell. So be careful of the voices that you listen to in life. God develops in private what he will one day display in public. So don't despise the stretching of your spiritual lives. Stretching is an exercise that helps us to find strength in times of difficulty. Don't rush the process and don't settle where he's only asking you to grow. You go beyond that. The next level requires a deeper trust in God, a refined character, and a clear vision. And that's exactly what he's building in you right now. So I'm telling you, whatever you're going through in life, I know your wheels are turning in your mind. And you're thinking, why am I allowing this to happen? If it's not illness, why is God allowing me to go through a divorce? Why is God allowing me to have problems with my children? Why is God working on my health itself? And why is God working on my fortune? I'm telling you, God is interested in saving your soul and getting you into heaven, the streets that are paved with gold. So don't let the wheels of your mind keep you from being all that God wants you to be. Now, to be on level with God, there are a number of things that we have to do. First of all, we have to be honest with God. Are you honest with God? Are you really? How honest are you? You know, when you became a child of God and you became a Christian, there was nothing more important to you than worshiping God. Listen, nothing could keep you away from meetings down at the church house when we were worshiping God. Nothing could keep you away. Nothing could distract your attention because you loved God and you said you loved God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But But let's be honest with God. Matter of fact, God knows you're honest or whether you are dishonest. And that's a tough one, isn't it, folks? It's a tough one for this preacher to preach. But I'm telling you, there are some dishonest people in the church of the living God, just as there were in New Testament times. And again, I ask you, is your bubble in the middle? We need to work at becoming God level. And by being honest in our relationship with the Lord. Again, in Psalms 43, David said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your spirit lead me on ground that is level." We understand all that. Sometimes people just in verbiage every day say to one another, "Are you on the level?" In other words, if you said something, you're doubting whether or not they are on the level or they are doing what they said that they were going to do. We have to seek out those times to find strength to be honest with God. And dishonesty with God is a serious matter, folks. And God knows this morning whether you are being honest or whether you are being dishonest. He knows whether you read the word and whether you pray or not. You don't have to come down just to the worship of God here in the assembly to show up and pretend to be something you're not. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, the most beautiful relationship there are those where parties involved are open and vulnerable to each other. And the more real you are to each other, the closer you get. And the more you like or love each other, it will happen. And we have to work at trying to love each other. And growing as a child of God. And quit feeding on your history and start feeding on your destiny, where you're going. It's not where you've been, but it's where are you going from this moment on. God is taking you, as I said, to another level. He's trying to get the bubble in the middle. But He wants you to be on level with Him. And when you are not, God knows it. You know, just think about how valuable your soul really is. Satan is tirelessly pursuing your soul. Think about how valuable your soul is. Why, if it's not, why is the devil pursuing your soul? Your soul is so valuable because the king laid down his own life for it. And it's up to us to show our appreciation and our love. Why would we expect less of our relationship with God? Sometimes I wonder if God doesn't look down at us. And we talk about how much we love God. We sing that song, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." You really want to be near the cross? A lot of people know. Because the cross is all about sacrifice. And that's what Christ said, "If a man would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. For he that would lose his life shall save it, and he that would save his life will lose it." Is your life on level with God? Or is your level broken? Sometimes we pledge ourselves to God with deep commitments. You know, when people come forward, they want to become Christians, always ask them, "Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and are you willing to make Him the Lord of your life?" And the reason I say that is Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the book of Luke in verse 46, said, listen to this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Or Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we have to be honest with God, first of all. I have learned this to be true. It's not just a walk of faith, but it is a walk of honesty with God. We began our Christian walk when we admitted that we were not good enough to save ourselves and that we needed help through Christ who died on the cross. The Bible says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And darkness involves deceit, ambiguity, deception, hypocrisy, untruths, or half-truths. And a half-truth is nothing more than a lie, my friend. And when you are honest with God, you weaken the power of darkness. That's the way that you get the devil out of your path. And we follow what Christ said to teach us to pray and getting gut level and honest with our God who is in heaven. If we want to go to the next level, we've got to make sure that we get our bubble in the middle right here. Because if your bubble is not in the middle now, God is not going to take you to the next level. He isn't. Maybe you wonder why you're not being so blessed. Maybe you're wondering why you're not being blessed with good health. Maybe you're wondering why you're not being blessed financially. Could it be that your bubble's not in the middle? Could it be that you're not on level with God? Not only does God say be honest, but if we're going to be on the level with God, we've got to be holy with God. We sing that old song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that's based on the words of Isaiah, who talked about the holiness of God. God is holy. That's why we should be holy. For the Lord is holy, Psalms chapter 99. But what does it mean to be holy? It is not being pious. It is not trying to impress the world to make you think that you are something that you are not. To be holy means that you're going to be pure. You are not going to allow the things of the world to corrupt your relationship with God who is in heaven. And you understand full well the words of Philippians 4 that says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are, here it is, pure and holy, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. To be holy, you've got to have a mind that's holy. And all these people that chide you for being holy need to be reminded that it is the holy that's going to heaven, not the unholy. In Hebrews 10 and 22, the writer said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then in Psalms 24 and verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You are honest, and you are holy with God. For pure religion, and that's the one that we're interested in this morning, isn't it? And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Holy. Holy. And that's where God's taking you to the next level. Maybe there's some things in your life this morning that are unholy. And God's working. As a matter of fact, he probably got you here to hear this lesson. I didn't know I was going to preach on this last Sunday. But God did lay it on my heart to preach this lesson today. And maybe that's the reason that you are here, folks. You see, I believe in the working of God. I believe that God does guard, guide, and direct us. That's what we always pray, isn't it? And then thirdly, we must live honorable lives. What does that translate to? What does that really mean? What does it mean to live an honorable life? Well, listen to these passages from the book of Proverbs and other places. He says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." That's honorable. Hiding sin only hurts us, but confessing it brings restoration. For 1 Samuel 16, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He looks on your heart this morning. David wanted to build the temple of God. God didn't let him do it because his hand shed blood. 10,000s and more. But God said, "You know what, David? It's good that it's in your heart." Can God look at you and say it is good what's in your heart this morning? God values honesty more than anything else here. And if you are wise, according to James 3 and 13, and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life and doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. You know why? He gives the answer in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, "Because they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor unto God when He judges the world." That kind of tells me that when we're all standing up before God, and the ones that have lived honorable lives are going into the presence of God, and they're looking back and they're wondering what happened to this group of folk back here. Why are they lost, and why are they not ascending into the presence of God? Because their lives were so dishonorable. We are called, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, to live an honorable life and make sure our bubble is in the middle. And God will take us to the next level. He will. Sometimes people come to church and they talk about how much they love the Lord and how much they love God and how much they love the preaching of the gospel and how much they appreciate my sermons. A woman approached a minister, her minister, by the way, after a sermon, and she thanked him for his discourse. And she said, "Preacher, I found it so helpful." And the minister said, "I hope it will not prove as useful as the last sermon you heard me preach." And the astonished woman said, "Well, why? What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, my last sermon has lasted you for 3 months. You hadn't been back in the house of worship." The Bible in Ephesians 2 and 8 and following teaches repentance and baptism, doesn't it? "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For we are," he says, "his workmanship." You are the workmanship of God, and that's why you must live honorable lives. And the purpose of life, as I said, is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and that you have lived well. And then in the book of Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Could you say that to God this morning? God, search me and know my heart. Know my heart. Would you feel comfortable with God knowing your heart? Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Because you want to go to the next level. Many of you may have heard of Chuck Swindoll. He is a religious writer. Actually, I've read several of his books. He's a well-known author and also preacher. He describes a moment, actually, it was a crisis in his life. He was speaking at a minister's conference one time, and by any measure, it was successful. And participants begged him to speak longer, and they were very engaged. But when he was all alone in his room, at the end of each day, he felt an emptiness and frustration in his own life. Sensing God was wanting to do something in his life, Chuck called several of his friends together. And he said, I want you to listen to my life story and see if anything stands out to you. And so the four friends and Chuck Swindoll gathered together. And beginning with his earliest memory as just a little boy, Chuck poured out his life story. And when he had finished, one of the friends asked him a few questions and then said, Chuck, I want you to put your head on your desk and close your eyes. And Chuck put his head on the table and closed his eyes. And the friend said, now I want you to imagine your father is holding you in his arms. And he asked him, what do you feel? And almost instantly, Chuck began to cry. For 30 minutes, he cried his eyes out before God. You see, Chuck's father died when he was 7 months old. And as he closed his eyes, what he felt was pure, unconditional love. And what he also realized, that day, he had preached many, many times to other people about the love of God, but he had never really made it personal. And with his head on the table that day, he really felt for the first time that God loved him, that his heavenly Father loved him very deeply, richly and unconditionally. And by his own testimony, even as a Christian, he said, I have never been the same. You know, when you come to realize that God loves you more than anything else in this world, he created our automobiles. He made our homes. He put money in your bank. He could take it away just as easy as he gave it. And the same is true with your soul. God can take your soul. For Job was right when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I hope this morning that your bubble's in the middle. I hope that you're on level with God. You can do the right thing, but you can do it the wrong way, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're so thankful and grateful for the presence of all of you, and if you're not a Christian, Would you go to the next level? Would you give your life to Christ? Can you honestly sing this song? Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll follow Him through the garden. I'll follow Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him all the way. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're on the wrong path. So why not turn around to the act of repentance? Give your hand to me and your heart to God. And be baptized into Christ for the removal of all your sin stains. And as a Christian, and you know that you are not measuring up. You are not on the level with God. You know it. God knows it. Then why not come this morning for restoration while we stand and while we sing?